Sunrise with Shona. Hot 1027.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Hot 1027, and it is so good to be with you again this morning. I hope that you're enjoying this beautiful weather. Today we're going to be joining Jesus as he's teaching his disciples before he's crucified. And so that is in John's Gospel, John 15. And then we're going to look at a reading from Acts, where Peter, who was one of the 12 with Jesus when Jesus was doing the teaching, confirms some of what Jesus said to them. So what I love about it is that we have Jesus' teaching, and then we have the confirmation of that through Peter, who was one of the original 12, as we know, a Jewish fisherman, one of the first to be called. And so there's power in testimony, and what we hear from Peter then confirms what Jesus said, and it's Peter's experience, Peter's testimony. So where we pick up today in John 15, Jesus has just spoken to them about how he's the vine, we are the branches, and we need to remain connected to the vine. And as I look around today, as in Jesus' day, with all the challenges and hardships, I truly believe that we need to remain connected in order to thrive. For me, it is the only way that we can thrive. And so I'm going to be looking at how we do that. But first, let me read from John 15, from verse 9. So Jesus has spoken about the vine, and he says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So it's not just about Jesus' joy, it's also about our joy. Well, it was about the disciples' joy. And I'm going to look just now at, when we look at Peter, at why this is also for you and I and not just for those 12 disciples. "My command is this," says Jesus, "love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." Now let's just look at that for a moment. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in this love. Later, as I look at the Apostle Peter, he will show how this verse applies to all of us. But looking at just this verse now, what is it like to be loved? When we are fortunate enough to experience deep and abiding love, and I'm talking here about human love, I don't know about you, but I feel safe and happy and accepted. That relationship becomes sacred. God loves us more than any human being can love us. We mustn't forget that. Paul, after his own deep encounter with God and God's love, writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "May you have the power to understand." So he's writing to us too. "May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is God's love, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge." So this love of Christ that surpasses all understanding, if you like, "so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Christ's love is greater than anything you could ever understand. Christ's love is greater than the love that anyone can have for us. And we need to know that love as God's people. And we need to then be filled with the fullness of God. And we'll only be filled with the fullness of God if we understand or at least experience that love. And then he says, "And now unto him who has the power within us to accomplish more than we could ever imagine or ask, to him be glory." I just love this. We have Jesus explaining God's love to the disciples, how they need to remain in that love. And then we have Paul sharing from his own experience of that love. And we know he had the most amazing experience of love. As an Anglican church, we rest on four pillars: tradition, scripture, reason, and recently they added experience, because it's your experience of God and that informs all these others in one way or another. So the tradition does grow and evolve as we go through it. Scripture, of course, is God's word, God's living word. We have reason, where we use our intellect. God gave us an intellect, so you place things in context, and we don't do things like drag people outside the city wall and stone them anymore. And then we have our experience of God, and that's why Peter's testimony later is so important, because it is his experience of Jesus. Jesus then goes on to say to the disciples, "I'm not going to call you servants but friends, because I've taught you everything I know." And he explains that a really good friend would lay down his life for a friend. And in this, he's obviously referring to himself, because he laid down his life for the disciples, and he laid down his life for us. And he commands them, it's a command, go out and bear much fruit. How are they going to do this? By loving others. Now, I've been privileged in my life to have some really good friends, and some I've had since childhood. For me, one of the signs of good friend is that even if you don't see each other regularly, when you meet up, it's as if you've never been apart. Now, I wonder if you've ever experienced friendship like that. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to extend that to you, my disciples, and through Peter, that friendship's extended to you and I. But there's one proviso. We obey Jesus' commands. And his greatest commandment is love. Now, one thing I've discovered is that every commandment has love at its foundation. When we love with the love of God, the commandments become much easier for us. There are going to be times when we mess up, but we will always receive forgiveness from God when we turn back to God with repentant hearts because of the work Jesus did on the cross. Now, today I want to focus on love and bearing fruit. What does it mean to love? Let's go to Paul again. Paul writing the church in Corinth. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is not envious or boastful or rude. It does not insist on its own way, and we are told it keeps no record of wrong. In other words, forgive others and let it go. These are just some of the characteristics of love, and maybe if you have time, you should put your name there, saying, Shona is kind, Shona is patient, Shona is not envious or boastful or rude. And when we hear it like that, it impacts us on a deeper level. And I actually believe that we should all write this down somewhere and read it every day. Because when we're in the traffic or dealing with power outages or dealing with irate people, at the moment, we tend to go into a mode of anger. That there seems to be a lot of anger around. And I think it will serve us well to remember to be kind, patient, and polite. It is good to keep no record of wrong because that sets us free, you and I. South Africans at the moment, as I said, are angry. But they're also worried. They're also fearful. As friends of Jesus, as the children of the living God, we are called to love and to bear much fruit. And if we do all this, things will change. We're called to love all people. I think that love changes people and situations. Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, when I look into your holiness.
Sunrise with Shona, Heart 1027.
When I look into your holiness on the Mighty Heart 1027, good morning. You are listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. If you've just joined me, I've looked at John chapter 15, where Jesus is calling his disciples friends if they obey his commands. And he talks about how they need to go out and bear much fruit, and they do this by loving other people. I've looked at the nature of love, and I spoke about how love can change people and situations. I've witnessed this firsthand in my life when I did work in orphanages. Where the children are loved, you see how they change. I've also seen it when I've worked with rescued birds. They change and begin to thrive. They go from being frightened to being confident to being happy. Love changes things and changes situations. Now, is that friendship of Jesus extended to you and I? And I said we're going to look at Peter in the book of Acts to answer that question. The book of Acts was probably written by the same writer as the Gospel of Luke, and we know that Luke was a doctor and he was a Gentile. So we told about Peter and how Peter stayed in Judea and he traveled all over the place. And when we look at why did Luke write this book of Acts, I think some feel very strongly that was to stop all the false teachings about Christians, people of the way, to allay all the fears of the Romans. And he also wanted to show how the followers of the way were not a new religion, but the completion of Judaism, because Jesus was a Messiah. And he wrote of the power of God at work and God's inclusive nature. So now we read in Acts 10, and this is Peter, who was present when Jesus addressed the 12 in John 15. This is Peter speaking now in the book of Acts. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. God, let's just repeat that, God does not show favoritism. This is Peter, who thought he was one of the favored ones. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So God was with Jesus. This is Peter talking. He says, we are also witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They still killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So here is why Peter's testimony is so important. He was not only present when Jesus was teaching the 12 about how we need to love each other, how they're now friends, how they need to go out and bear much fruit. But he was also present to see the resurrected Jesus. So he's speaking from his own experience, his own testimony, and he ate and drank with Jesus. And he goes on to say, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify him about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of their sins in his name. And while Peter is still speaking these words, and this is why I say it is for all of us, it wasn't just for those 12, we're all friends of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes on all who heard the message, not just on a few, but on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Why are they astonished? Because they believed they were the chosen race, and now here were the Gentiles receiving the blessing of the Holy Spirit. They heard them speaking in tongues and praising God, so they knew that they had received the Holy Spirit. Then Peter says, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They've received the Holy Spirit just the same as you and I. And this shows God is not a God of favoritism. God includes all. God is radically inclusive. So Peter ordered that those people be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then they asked Peter to stay with them. So here we have Peter's own testimony. Living out that which he had heard from Jesus is now being lived out in faith, and he's experiencing it. And I believe that one of the most powerful things is personal testimony. And here we have Peter's testimony. As we look at this in more depth, let's first look at who Peter was. As I said, he was one of the 12, one of the first called by Jesus, a Jewish fisherman. Originally called Simon, named Peter by Jesus, which one of the translations of Peter is rock. So Jesus said, I will build my church on you. You will be the rock. And we believe he was the first bishop of Rome, the longest serving bishop perhaps, before he was martyred for his faith. He was crucified, and he chose to be crucified upside down, we think. He possibly served for over 30 years, although it can't be verified, and we believe that he was crucified in Rome under Nero. It puts him in a very privileged position, as I said, as one of Jesus' first companions and someone who lived the faith and saw the resurrected Jesus, ate and drank with him, spoke to him. And so we can believe his testimony. Now, I asked earlier, does Jesus include you and I as his friends? I think Peter has the answer, as we've just heard. I will look at this in more detail in a moment, but first on the Mighty Hot 1027, Jesus, name above all names.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Jesus, name above all names on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. I've started by looking at John's Gospel, John 15, how Jesus commanded his disciples to love, and told them that they've obeyed his commandments, then they were his friends, not his servants. They were told also to go out and bear much fruit. And I asked, does this extend to you and I? How would Peter have answered this? As I read from Acts 10, 34 to 48, remembering that Peter was Jewish, he said, I now realize that it is true God does not show favoritism, but accepts every nation for the one who fears him and does what is right. Now, this was a radical teaching at the time, and the Jews believed they were chosen people, and Peter is saying, everyone, even non-Jews, are included. It was his lived experience, and he goes on to say who Jesus is. Now, God announced the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. So Jesus brought the peace of God, and Jesus brought that peace, and he's Lord of all. How did God anoint Jesus of Nazareth? He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, so he could go around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. He then goes on to confirm his authority to speak on such matters. This is Peter speaking. He said, I was a witness, along with the other disciples, of everything Jesus did, and his death, and his resurrection, and how he was commanded by Jesus to preach to the people, to testify that Jesus is the one God has appointed as judge of the living and the dead, and that all the prophecies are true, and that we receive forgiveness for our sins through Jesus. Now, here's the interesting part. The proof of what he was saying about the fact that we're all included is that while he was still speaking, as I said, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. So the circumcised believers are astonished because they thought only they would receive the Holy Spirit. But that Holy Spirit is poured out on everyone who was gathered there. And the proof of that was that they spoke in tongues and praised God. So the Holy Spirit is there for all. And then he mentions the circumcised believers because not all present were circumcised, as I said, some of them were Gentiles. So in other words, as I have said, the Holy Spirit is for all. Everyone is included. Then Peter said, no one can stand in the way of their being baptized. and he orders that they are baptized. So the good news is for each and every one of us. The good news is that God includes all, that we're all invited. But with that invitation, the response is up to us. Are we going to obey God's commands? Are we going to go out and bear much fruit? And how are we going to do this? By loving others, by being patient, by being kind. That's why I said, perhaps we need to write that up somewhere, where it's not about us, it's actually about the other person. We're not boastful or rude or jealous. We are kind, we are considerate, we are compassionate for others. Maybe we need to write that up or just remind ourselves each day that that is how we love people for God. And that is what God is asking from us. Everyone is included. No one is excluded. And that love of God is higher, wider, deeper, broader than anything we can comprehend or understand. Probably all of us listening are Christians. If you aren't, that's also great. It would be great for you to join me in the prayer that I'm going to pray. But I've adopted a prayer that was sent to me that I believe we can all pray. And I have slightly adapted it, not just adopted it for myself. And I pray the following. Jesus, please be the center of my life. I welcome you personally as my Lord and Savior of my life. Please forgive me for past transgressions. Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill me and empower me to live as a child of God. Please grant me your grace to live life anew in you and God. And I just found that a really powerful prayer, and it's something I pray often now, and I hope you did too. There's also the collect for the day, which I just want to share with you because it reminds us that we need to love others. And it starts like this, risen Lord. So we had Peter testifying that Jesus was risen from the dead, that he ate and drank with them. You first chose us and called us friends. Jesus first chose those 12 disciples and called them friends, and later through the work of the apostles, all of us are included. Set our hearts on fire, Jesus, with love for you and one another, that we may live your justice and sing your praise. I pray that this week you will live God's justice and sing God's praise in all you do. May God bless you and your family. May God anoint you and protect you. Thank you so much for listening this morning. To wrap up, shine, Jesus, shine, and shout to the Lord. And if you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.